As was announced, the scripture reading is found in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come before you and speak this evening. I want to extend the welcome to any visitors that we might have and offer you the opportunity to come back at any opportunity that you have. I'm thankful to the elders for this opportunity to speak this morning. Anyone that gets the opportunity to prepare a lesson and speak will tell you that you learn far more preparing your lesson than that you could possibly teach to anyone else. And I think that's especially applicable with the lesson I've prepared this morning. If you see me kind of looking down a little more than usual, I printed off some notes, and for some reason they're very small. So if I'm squinting a little more than usual, don't be alarmed. So just think with me briefly here this morning about a top college football prospect. He becomes a top five pick in the NFL draft because he has great potential. But a lot of times, what is the case, this person that's expected to be a franchise player in the new face of the sport, within the first five seasons, especially in the Cleveland Browns case, he's out of the league. He becomes obsolete. He did not fulfill the talent that was projected to him, and he's referred to as a bust. Why was this the case? Was it that there was never any talent to begin with? No. Obviously, at one point or another, he had enough talent to be picked as a top five prospect in the NFL draft and be paid all that money. Was it that there were no resources available to him to make him better and make him what a proper NFL player should be? No. What it came down to is simply they did not do enough once they were drafted or once they had started this to prevent from becoming obsolete, and they never reached their full potential. So what we'll talk about this morning is regarding reaching our full potential as Christians. And this is far more important than any other aspect of life, whether it be your life, your job, your family, financially, socially. And obviously there's different ways that you could attack this. There's all kinds of biblical things you could apply to your life to grow. But I've found what we read as our scripture reading in 2 Peter chapter 1. To really help us as Christians to grow. So we're just going to briefly touch this topic this morning. This idea came to me to speak about this. Well, a couple weeks ago, Brother Steve Bills was teaching a Bible class. And one of our other elders, Dale Taylor, brought up the point about our personal work groups. How at one point, when we would go out on the Saturdays, they were a great number when they first started out. And instead of, you know, growing in number as we got more and more Christians and more people to come in, they gradually diminished over time. The numbers that were participating in the groups got smaller and smaller. So this plan of getting out and going into our community of Akron to invite all these people to come and to tell them the good news as we have been commanded in the Great Commission. It has great potential to save souls. But just like any group or team activity that you can be a part of, it starts with the individual. Each member of a team has an obligation to fulfill their role first, no matter how big or small it be. So when I said this lesson applies to me, I'm not trying to. I got to look in the mirror first, you know, before I can point out things to you guys. But it's just no different in the Church of Christ than any other team. To reach our full potential here at Brown Street, The responsibility first lies on each and every one of us as individuals to first become the best that we can, and then that will directly translate to us as a congregation. We know we can read and study that the church here, we are Christ's body. And if just one member of any body, a physical body or any team, is lacking, we know that the whole body will suffer for it. Well, this is much easier said than done. How exactly are we to reach our full potential? If you just ask Google, and this is coming from the world's context, the Harvard Business Review says, take a personal look at how you define success. Well, how do we define success? It's that simple. We look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And if we take heed of these words, we know that we have a reward greater than any earthly accomplishment, that we know that to be the home in heaven. So before we realize how to reach our full potential, we have to understand that each and every one of us in this body of Christ has a different amount of potential and a different method or outlet to achieve it. The reason we know this is because of the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25. If you turn over there to Matthew chapter 25, we'll read that account and study the things from that. In verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the master in the parable gives each man the talents that he deserves, the talents that he's capable of doing what he can with them. The man who received the 1 talent from the master couldn't handle 5. And the one who received 5, if he had just been given 1, that wouldn't be enough for him. He wouldn't be reaching his full potential. So we must understand that God will never expect more of us than we can handle. We will always be given a task that we can accomplish. But that being said, we must do with what he has given us. The first two in this parable did that. They did exactly that. They used their talents to grow their master's possession, to grow the kingdom. But the third servant acted idly, and he never reached the even 1 talent potential, and he was punished for it. And we realize that we will be punished too for being lukewarm or simply running in place. We are warned again and again to grow and not be stagnant. If you look with me at passages like Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16 says, So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So we don't want to be lukewarm Christians. And that would be us not trying to strive to reach our full potential. And also turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we can't just stay in place. It doesn't work. And we will be cut off. We will be that fruitless branch that is cut off that we'll describe later. So how do we grow? That's a question that could be answered in many different ways. But I think to grow, we have to add to our faith. And well, you ask, how do we add to our faith? Well, we're told how to add to our faith, and it's called supplementing our faith. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, where our reading was taken from this morning. It's very simple. And so, obviously, there's all kinds of ways you could describe how to grow as a Christian yourself. But just to me, this comes out as the most obvious. So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, where our scripture reading was taken from. And we'll spend some time here, looking at each of these qualities listed here and how that by adding them to our faith, it allows us to grow as Christians and beginning to reach our full potential. So beginning in verse 5, we'll read it again. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's exactly what we want to prevent from being, is ineffective or unfruitful. The first thing listed here is virtue. And virtue can be defined as moral excellence. And that is us Christians living our lives each day, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed in the renewal of our mind. When we think of virtuous Bible characters, there's so many. But we can't help thinking of the virtuous woman that is described by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 31. You can go there and read that sometimes and read the things that could be described as a virtuous woman, the qualities that she would possess. Or we think of the preacher Timothy, who was raised by his mother and grandmother to be morally upright. And then he went on to do great things for Christ in preaching the gospel because he abstained from the world and he was able to reach his full potential by not being a part of those things. So the first step to reaching our full potential is obviously abstaining from sin and worldliness, which gives us much more ability to fill our hearts and minds with the right things that will help us grow, and then we can take those to others and help them grow. Next thing here in 2 Peter is knowledge. We must have a desire for knowledge and truth, absolute truth. When you think about being a student in school, are you going to be a better student? Are you going to become smarter without increasing your knowledge? That's just not the case. It's not logical. So how can we ever expect us individually or us as a local church to reach our full potential if we are not thirsting for knowledge, if we are not striving every day to learn more about God? And just like everything we can talk about here this morning, it couldn't be any simpler to obtain the knowledge necessary. The next step towards reaching our full potential is right in front of us. We must use it to our advantage. The Word of God will never become obsolete. No matter, as we talked about in the classes, this world evolves and people want us to change the things of the Bible is too old-fashioned or what. The Word of God will never become obsolete. And it doesn't matter if you've read the Bible, if you've never read the Bible once, if you're completely unaware of the things in it, or if you've read it 100 times, there's still more to learn for you as a Christian. Just the other night when our brother Don was teaching the Bible class, he pointed out he'd read this one passage 100 times before, but then he was able to strike up new thoughts about it that we could learn from that. And so there's always more that we can do to read and learn. So all it takes is studying this perfect, complete, and the salvation from the Word of God as much as we can. And that is how we gain more knowledge to better ourselves. The next here is self-control. And that's pretty self-explanatory. We must resist the devil and sin, no matter how severe the temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We must flee. I've said this time and time again. We cannot, well, my parents have said it, then I, you know. We cannot toe the line with sin, or we can't, you know, push the line back and pretend like we aren't sinning, getting farther and farther, you know, closer to that line of sin. The devil is very smart, and he will have us trapped in our sin before we even know that we are sinning. And it's only by studying the Word of God more and more we can find where that line is and stay as far away from it as possible. And like I said, discovering what is sinful can only be found by God's Word. And that's where the knowledge will come directly into play from studying these things. You can better yourselves in that way right away. And then next, we are commanded to be steadfast. And this means that we are to be anchored in our faith, immovable, when the trials of life and sin come at us. You will never reach your full potential if every time something in your life goes wrong, you forget about God or blame God for the wrong things going on in your life. When we think about Job, I mean, other than Jesus, we think about Job as the human being on this earth who has endured the most physical affliction of anyone at all. He lost his family, he lost his health, he lost all of his possessions because he would stand with God. And even on his deathbed, his wife tells him to curse God and die. So what an example Job is. If Job had just given up on God, Job would have never been this great Bible character that we can read about. You know, he would have never reached his full potential. And if anyone would have had a reason to throw God under the bus when things went wrong, it would have been him. And we know that he did not. Also, we can turn to Matthew chapter 7. In verse 26, and we read about in this context here of the foundations, one that is built on rock and one that is built on sand. And anyone who would, you know, throw God under the bus right away or not be a part of, or that would not stick with God throughout all their hard times would be like in verse 26 here of Matthew 7. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So it also goes the same way, though, if everything in our life is going perfect right now, and we are not giving God all the thanks and praise for it. We are still not being steadfast if we are not giving God the same praise and are praying as much as we can, even when things are going wrong. The next example here would be godliness. And this is our quest to be like God. We find in the Bible the exact nature of God. That's the only way to discover it. And what he expects of us. And it is up to us, each of us, to try each and every day to become more like him. And that means abstaining from the world and practicing the deeds of righteousness. And obviously, being godly directly correlates to our potential. If we live each and every day trying to be more and more like him, then the sky's the limit. Because we know we can never actually reach his level. We can only just better ourselves each and every day, and that would raise our potential. We'd be on the way to reaching that full potential. So if each of us here at Brown Street became or took the effort to be more like God, we could, you know, reach levels that we never thought were possible. And the last two things here listed in 2 Peter go hand in hand, and that's brotherly affection and love. It should be no secret that if we as individuals here at Brown Street got better at practicing brotherly love and affection, we as a congregation would thrive and strive to new levels that we've never been at before. We know that love is the greatest of all commands, and it makes everything better for us as Christians. To reach our full potential, we must love, and that is the same kind of love that God sent his Son to die for us. We should have the same love for this lost world that Jesus showed, the love and compassion to all that he taught, and he came to this world for the sinners. And we would all be better as people for it and as a congregation if we had the same love for the world as well, to seek and save the lost. So once we as individuals have it all figured out, we can work together as this local church to accomplish great things. But it starts with us as individuals. So just before we finish here, let's think about the apostles for a minute. At one point, they were all chosen by Jesus to be his closest disciples because of their potential to be great in his kingdom. But some were great in his kingdom and some were not. We look at Judas. Judas did not obviously study and apply these principles that God had given his people at these times, and he let the world get the best of him. And he was never able to reach his full potential, even though he had originally been selected by Jesus as one of his closest peers. But then we look at Peter or Paul. They had applied these things to their lives, and that is why they are the great apostles and the disciples of Christ that we read about, is because they apply these things to their lives, bettered themselves, but their fruit didn't stop there. You know, they went to the ends of this earth to establish the faithful churches and to make each existing church thrive and strive. So that they bore fruit, bared fruit far beyond just them as individuals, but it started with them. So let's look at ourselves as Christians this morning. Are we taking the steps that we need to reach our full potential so that we as a local church here at Brown Street can thrive? It's we're a body here. We have to be a fully functioning body with each member doing their part. It couldn't be any simpler. We must apply the words from the mouth of God to our lives to become the best Christians we can be, so we do not be lukewarm, or as in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19 describes, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Or this branch that bears no fruit and is cut off and thrown into the fire. We do not want to be that. But also equally as simple, if you have not started this walk of faith, if you have not yet contacted the blood of Christ, your potential hasn't even started. And the only way to find salvation is through the Bible, and that is through Jesus Christ, and that is how you reach salvation. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And then 3 days later, he was raised from the dead and ascended back into heaven. You must repent of your sins. You must put aside the old man of sin. And you must become the new creature. And you must, and that is how you'll never reach your potential if you don't first put away your sins and escape the things of this world. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you will be confessed before the angels in heaven. And then finally, you must be baptized, and that means fully immersed in the water, and that is where you contact the blood of Christ, and that is where your sins are washed away, and you can start this walk. But your potential doesn't start until you take that step and you begin to reach your full potential. But also, if you've been a lukewarm Christian this morning, maybe you haven't been applying these things that are listed in 2 Peter to your life to make sure that you aren't the part of our body here at Brown Street that's lacking. You must pray to God for forgiveness, and he is just to forgive you, and he wants to make sure that you are the best possible. So he's going to forgive you and give you the strength you need so that you can be better here at Brown Street, and so that we can all work together for our common goal. Or if it's of a public manner, we can pray for you for your strength as well. We can all be a part of this. If we can assist you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.